Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, here at North Point, we have said that 2022 is our year to... That is fantastic. The first two rows got it. I'm going to give everybody else a chance to join in and act like you know what's going on here at North Point in 2022. And that is, in 2022, we said this is our year to
advance.
That's right, our year to advance. Advance means to move forward in a purposeful way. To move forward on purpose with purpose. Now, everybody on the planet today is moving forward. Time is moving forward. The earth is moving forward. But not everybody is moving forward on purpose, with purpose. And that's the difference between advancing and existing. And I don't want to be a person that's just existing in this life. I want to be a person that is advancing, that is moving forward into everything that God has in store for me. And we are looking in the book of Romans this summer. And if you have not picked up your Romans devotional, please don't leave today without it. We have some at the white tent out there in the lobby. Stop by, grab your Romans devotional, and jump in with us. We're going to be going all the way through the end of July. You can pick up right there where, just pick up right where we are right now. I encourage you to get into the book of Romans. It is truly a transformative book. And as we've been talking through this book, we said there's four main sections in Romans. And just for a quick review, the first section in Romans is the gap, right? And that talks about how sin created a gap between us and God. And then the second section of Romans, it moves into talking about the gift, that God made a way to close the gap, that He sent His one and only Son as the greatest gift that this world has ever known, that we might move into the third phase of Romans, and that is the gain. That Jesus is our gain, that we can choose to make Him our Savior and our Lord, that we might be able to spend eternity with Him in heaven, but also that we might be able to experience the abundant life here on earth. Why? Because when we get into the fourth section of Romans, it talks about the grit. It talks about the transformation process that we can go through. And so that's what we are doing this summer. We are walking through the book of Romans on this journey to transformation, because there are two things that become very apparent, very clear in the book of Romans, and it is this: first, that Jesus came for the salvation of our souls, and second, Jesus came for the transformation of our lives. It's our two takeaways from the book of Romans. Jesus came for the salvation of our souls, but Jesus also came for the transformation of our lives here on earth. And we've been saying that this is our year to advance, but what are we advancing into? We've said this is our year to advance into abundance. This is our year to advance into everything that God has said was possible. What did God say was possible? John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I came that you might have life." Not that you might breathe in and breathe out. Not that you might exist. No. Jesus says, "I came that you might have life, that you might have it to the full, that you might have it in abundance until it overflows." Jesus said, "I am coming to make that kind of life possible for you here on this earth." And what makes that kind of life possible? The thing that makes that kind of life possible is it's the message that Jesus came to bring. And we've been saying through the series that the power of the good news is that it saves everyone who believes, but it also shapes how everyone behaves. It's the power of the message of Jesus. Is not only is there power to save your soul, there is also power to shape how you live, to shape how you behave, to shape how you show up every single day on this earth. And it causes us to remember that when Jesus was here on this earth, He was not seeking believers, He was looking for disciples. He never invited anybody and said, "Just believe in me." He was looking for disciples. Now, all disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. Wow, because disciples are people who have committed to shape their thoughts, to shape their behaviors, to shape their attitudes, their actions, their reactions, their responses. They are there to shape those things like their teacher. Disciples don't just believe their teacher, they behave like the teacher. See, that's the difference. It's like, Jesus wasn't saying, just believe what I'm telling you. Jesus said, no, you need to believe what I'm telling you so that you might behave like me, so that you might be like me, so that you might live your life the way that I am living my life. And so when we get into the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul in chapter 12 begins to give us some insight on how this is possible. And this is our core scripture as we kind of go throughout the book of Romans. We're looking at everything else in the book of Romans through this lens. And in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, the leader in the early church, this is what he writes. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what God has done for you, in view of the fact that God gave you something that you could have never earned or never deserved, because God has given you peace with himself, because of God's mercy and because of God's grace, this is what our response should be: to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, because of what God has done for you, this is your reasonable response to that. And that is to offer up your life, that you would no longer live according to your opinions and your ways, but you would live according to the ways of Jesus, that you would offer up your body as a living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And he says in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, isn't it awesome here? When Paul is talking about your mind being renewed, he is writing that long before neuroscience proved that our brains could physically be rewired. Isn't it amazing that when the Apostle Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was writing about something that now we know is actually physically happening in our brains? Because in our brains, we have something called neural pathways. And neural pathways are the connections that form between the neurons in your brain. And if we could just kind of see it this way, the connections that are made between the neurons in your brain, they create like a highway for your thoughts. That your thoughts begin to travel down the highway. And the more your thoughts travel down that highway, the more embedded the neural pathway becomes, the deeper that rut becomes, the more consistent it becomes as it begins to travel through your brain. But some 20 years ago, a few decades ago, there was a brand new revelation, and it was this thing called neuroplasticity. Because if you go back 40 years ago, what people thought was they thought that your brain just always, your brain was the way it was and it would never change. The what was there and you just have to deal with it. But now, in the last couple decades, a new thing is called neuroplasticity. And this is what it means. It is the ability of your brain to form and to reorganize synaptic connections. Means basically that those highways of brain, your neural pathways, can literally disconnect and reconnect. They can disconnect from old ways of thinking, and they can reconnect to form new highways for your thoughts to travel down. So whenever the Apostle Paul wrote this and he said, hey, listen, if you want your life to be transformed, you've got to let God renew your mind. You've got to let God disconnect some of those old highways of thought, and you've got to let God reconnect it so that you can think new thoughts. Which makes sense why we say you can't live different if you don't think different. Because if you don't think different, your thoughts keep traveling down the same pathway, leading to the exact same conclusions, the exact same behaviors, the exact same reactions, and the exact same responses. So when we say you can't live better if you don't think better, you can't live different if you don't think different, it is literally meaning because if your brain doesn't get rewired, it keeps traveling down the exact same pathway and you keep ending up in the exact same spots. And this explains how people can believe in Jesus, but their life can continue to be dominated by old habits. Their life can continue to be dominated by old things, by old patterns, by old limitations. And here's the reason why. Because the spirit is reborn, but the mind is not renewed. That's why whenever I teach my corporate clients, is what I say. If you don't change your thinking, you will always recycle your experiences. This is how people keep walking around the same issue, the same problem, the same thing. Because if you don't change the way you think, you will keep recycling the experiences in your life. You will keep walking around the exact same things. And while you might say, okay, God, please help me with my temper, if you don't rewire your brain to think differently about people and to think differently about what's possible and to think differently about, if you don't wire yourself for a different reaction, you will continue to move around the exact same thing, because it's the changing of our thinking that brings about the transformation of our lives. So while we can be born again, I believe in Jesus. I've confessed that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I am saved. I am born again. I can experience eternal life because of God's grace. But if I want my life on earth to be transformed, then I'm going to have to allow my mind to be renewed. Not just my spirit reborn, but my mind to be renewed. So this is what Paul writes. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. But here's what happens. Here's what happens. When many people read this, they think, oh, that doesn't apply to me because I don't belong to this world. Glory to God. I belong to Jesus. I am a Christian, without realizing that the pattern of this world has produced or at least influenced the pathway of our thoughts. So I don't conform to the pattern of this world. Well, this, whatever comes next, it does not apply to me. Because I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. I know my heavenly home, and we got all things. So whatever he's about to say, because I'm not in, no, but what we fail to realize is that we grew up in this world. We grew up in this society. We grew up in some dysfunction. We grew up in some adversity. We grew up, and the things that were happening around us have produced in us, or at least influenced us in a certain way. So Paul says, you cannot conform to these patterns. And when we look at that word in the Greek for conform, it's sousi quasimoto. And, you know, it's a... And this is what it means. It means assuming a similar outward form or expression, but watch this, by following the same pattern. So to conform means that I am assuming a similar outward form. I am assuming a similar outward expression, right? And this is what we would say, is we would say, well, man, you know what? The people in the church act just like people in the world, right? People that claim to be Christian, they act the same way. Why? I'm showing you the reason why right now. There is a similar expression. There is a similar outward behavior. Why? Because it follows the same inward pattern or model. So there is what you would call a modus operandi, or a mode of operation that exists within the world. And that modus operandi, that mode of operation, that model or that pattern is what is creating these external behaviors. And if we don't understand that the modus operandi of the world is influencing our mode of operation, then we are going to miss out on some of the behaviors that are possible in our lives. Because we begin to conform. We conform to the model of believing, the model of thinking, the model of being that exists within the world, and then it generates with us these results that we experience: fear and anxiety, anger, bitterness, despair, greed, pride, depression, division, regret, hate, selfishness, immaturity, jealousy, resentment. And so many times all of this happens without us even knowing that it's happening. And we are experiencing these things in our lives. we're full of anxiety, full of selfishness. We are full of fear. We are full of jealousy and envy. We are full of anger and hate. We are full of these things, and we don't even realize that this is what is happening. And it's almost like a reflex. Here's the thing, is it becomes a part of us. It becomes normal. It becomes our normal. And listen, when it's been normal for so long, this is what we begin to think. Well, this is just the way it is. This is the way marriage is. This is the way parenting a three-year-old is. This is the way work is. This is the way the world is. This is the way that life is. And this conforming to this pattern, this conforming to this way of thinking, this conforming to the model that Paul talks about is actually the thing that is forming the attitude within us. So when Paul says, don't conform to the way of thinking, don't conform to the way of being that exists within the world, he's saying you can't conform to that because it's forming something in you. And you are called to get a different expression out of your life. There's supposed to be some different behaviors coming out of you, but if you don't know where the behaviors are coming from, then your behaviors are going to look just like their behaviors. Because it comes from this mode of operation. It comes from this way of thinking. It's coming from this attitude that is being formed in you. Now, we talk about this a lot, but let me just remind you of the definition of the word attitude. Attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. Your attitude, it is the way of thinking and feeling that you have settled into about something, anything, yourself, your parents, the world, someone, right? It's just anything. There's a way that we think. There's a way that we feel about these things, and these things form our attitude. This settled way of thinking or feeling is what leads to your being, right? It leads to who you are. This settled way of thinking or feeling, this attitude, It leads to how you show up in every room you walk into. How you show up every day. Your attitude is how you show up every day. Where does that attitude come from? That attitude comes from the way that you've settled about thinking and feeling about all the things in your life. And then the way of being, the way that you show up, guess what? That determines the way that you behave. That's why I always say, right, that your attitude follows your attention. But your actions follow your attitude. So if you want the right actions in your life, you got to make sure you have the right attitude in your life, which means you got to pay attention to the right things. Which then takes us to one very obvious thing, right? Is that people don't pay attention to what they're paying attention to. But what I'm paying attention to is literally determining the way that I act. Because my attention is giving direction to my attitude. My attitude is giving direction to my actions. William James said this. He says, it is our attitude at the beginning of a difficult task which more than anything else will affect its successful outcome. More than anything else. Walking into a challenge, the thing that's going to determine how that works out is the attitude that I show up with. So our settled way of thinking and feeling, your settled way of thinking and feeling about yourself, about your spouse, about God, about your present, about your future, about what's possible in your life. Listen, your settled way of thinking is playing a huge role in how you will choose to respond to the events that happen in your day, which ultimately determines how your life turns out. I'm going to say that again, because if you miss that, you miss everything. Your settled way of thinking and feeling about the things in your life is playing a huge role in how you choose to respond to the events that happen in your day. And the way that you respond to the events that happen in your day is ultimately determining how your life turns out. And it all depends on how I show up. It all depends on my attitude, which all depends on the settled way of thinking and feeling that I have allowed to take place in my life. Which then, whenever you get into Romans chapter 5, right, it begins to push against the thought pattern that exists within the world. Because in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul starts off and he says, because of God's grace, you've been given peace with God. I mean, it's an undeserved privilege. And you should rejoice because of what God, and come on, anybody can rejoice about that, right? Anybody can be glad that God gave you what you did not deserve, that God forgave your sin and your trespasses and created a seat for you at a heavenly table. And he says, you should rejoice about that. Now, everybody can get on board with rejoicing when things are going good. With the Apostle Paul in verse 3 of Romans 5, he says, but not only this, but with joy let us exalt in our sufferings. That word exalt actually means to show or feel triumphant joy. How many think, did he make a mistake? that I am supposed to show or feel triumphant joy in my suffering. And then he says, and rejoice in our hardships. Meaning that you should be glad and you should take delight. That's what rejoice means, to be glad or take delight in your hardships. So you should feel and show triumphant joy in the midst of suffering. And you can even be glad and take delight in your hardships. And at this moment, you just want to throw up your hands and be like, how in the world is that possible? And he says it he gives you the whole thing in the very next word. He says, knowing. Meaning that Paul knew something that we don't know. It's all about what you know. It's all about what's in your mind and your way of thinking. He says, knowing, being convinced of, being certain of, knowing that hardship, distress, pressure, trouble produces patient endurance. And endurance produces proven character or spiritual maturity. Everybody say maturity. It produces this maturity on the inside of us. And that proven character or that maturity produces hope and confident assurance of our eternal salvation. Such hope in God's promises never disappoint us. When you read that, you say, for real? Is this guy for real? I mean, is he really talking about exalting in suffering and rejoicing in heart? Is that even possible? Is it really possible? And then it comes down to the fact that Paul is thinking on another level. Paul is thinking on another level. You see, there is a pattern towards suffering and hardship that exists within the world. There's a pattern. There's a model. There's a way of thinking and feeling about hardship and suffering that exists within the world. And it looks a whole lot like this. Why me? Oh, no, not again. Things never work out for me. Guess it's not meant to be. I can't ever catch a break. Pity Party City. This is unfair. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And Paul says, actually, your mind can be renewed. And actually, you can think different about things and you can think different about people. And actually, you can have a different attitude. And that new attitude is actually going to lead to a different response. And that different response is going to lead you to a different outcome. So you don't have to always stay and operate in the way of the world. Why me, pity party, all the, you don't have to operate that way. You don't have to spend the rest of your life saying, well, that was unfair and that's not the way it's supposed to be and it should never work out like that. And Paul's actually saying, you know what? You can actually get a different way of thinking. And guess what? When you get a different way of thinking, you're gonna get something different out of it, because whenever I encounter suffering and whenever I encounter hardships, this is what I know. I know I'm gonna grow on the inside. And when I start growing on the inside and I start developing in my spiritual maturity, it's gonna produce things in my life that I need in my life. So whenever I move on in life, I'm going to be better when I get to tomorrow, because I had a different way of thinking about my adversity today. While the people that are there, why me, poor me, pitiful me, you don't get what you need. So you show up tomorrow looking just like you did yesterday. And Paul said, not me. I know something that you don't know. I'm thinking a different way about this. And so I'm able to move into a different level of my life. Let's look what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, in this world you will have tribulation, distress, and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. You see, Paul and Jesus are both letting us know it's possible to be courageous. It's possible to build character and to display joy through tough times. It's possible. It's possible for you to be filled with joy. It's possible for you to build character. It's possible for you to be courageous even in the midst of the most difficult times of your life. However, we also know that it is probable to stay afraid, to build stress, and display despair through tough times. And if you were here last week, we talked about the difference between possible and probable. That possible is able to happen, probable is likely to happen. And this is the reality. It's possible in difficult times for you to grow. It's possible in difficult times for you to have joy. It is possible for you to be courageous. However, it is probable, it is likely to happen that you stay afraid. It's likely to happen. What's probable is that you build stress. What's probable is that you display despair. Why? Because that's the way that the world operates. That's the what the world feeds you. And so whenever we look at being courageous, when we look at building character, when we look at having joy in tough times, we say, is that even possible? Yes, it's possible. Yes, it is possible. It is likely to happen. It's just, it is able to happen. It's just not likely to happen. And here's the thing. The difference between which one of these things is happening in your life, it comes down to this. Are you being conformed or are you being transformed? What is your response to the adversity in your day? Get stressed? What is the response to the challenges that you face? To display despair, hopelessness? Oh, God, it's not going to work out. What do you think whenever you roll into an unexpected situation, an unexpected adversity? Do you get afraid and then stay afraid? And that's why I say stay afraid, because how many know things get scary, right? And you go like, oh, God, but you don't have to stay afraid. So it all comes down to, are you conforming to the modus operandi, the mode of operation of the world? Or are you being transformed by thinking something different about God and about life and about what is possible? I love the quote, maybe my favorite quote, Albert Einstein said, we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we use to create them. So that just lets us know. I mean, unless your life is 100% optimized right now, I mean, unless you just woke up this morning with the angels singing around your bed, I mean, you just floated here, you know. I mean, unless your life is maximally optimized right now, then we know there's something out there for us. There's a new level of thinking for us. That's why Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, the author of Hebrews writes, and he says, therefore, let us get past the elementary stage in the teachings about the Christ. Advancing, come on, there's our word. Say it with me. Say advancing. Advancing. Advancing on to maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness. Maturity just means full development. It's maturity, full development. Maturity isn't knowing a lot. Maturity is doing what you know. Maturity is when your beliefs and your behaviors are in alignment. That's maturity. And what happens is that people can get stuck in the elementary beliefs, and they don't move into the maturity behaviors. They get stuck in the elementary beliefs about God sending his one and only son, about Jesus dying on the cross as the savior of my life, that his blood was for the forgiveness of my sins. And they get stuck in elementary beliefs, but they don't move into the maturity behaviors. But let me remind you what Paul said. Paul said, my life is transformed whenever my mind is renewed. That I'm changing the way I think so that I might change the way I live. Listen, we are not just trying to get here and just think better, okay? Don't misunderstand me. We're not just trying to get to, excuse me. We're not just trying to get here to some heightened, elevated mental awareness so we can just think better thoughts and exist in some type of la-la land of thinking. No, that's not what we're trying to do. Listen, we are trying to think better so we can live better. Because God has called us to be the light of the world. God has asked us to bring heaven to earth every single day. But there is just a method of which that takes place. And if we don't change our thinking, we'll never change our living. But we're not trying to just walk around here just so we're a little bit better and I'm a little bit happier because I think better and my life just got a little... No. We are here to be transformed. We want our life to be changed. Why? So that the world might experience the goodness and the glory of God that is flowing through our lives out into the world. But there is a way that happens, and it starts here. It starts here. So we have to change the way that we think. We have to become mature. Now, here's the beauty. Here is the beauty of transformational living. The beauty of transformational living is that it never stops. It never stops. We don't ever arrive because we are constantly continuing to be transformed. Why? Because we can always think a little bit more like God. Our thinking can always go a little bit higher. And every time my thinking goes a little bit higher, my life is going to go a little bit higher. So this transformation journey, it's not like, oh, well, I did a decade in church and I know 100 scriptures and I know the basic deal and so I can check out. No. This is a lifetime. This never stops. Transformation never stops. You ought to be on your deathbed breathing your last breath, still having been transformed every single day of your life up until that moment. Why? Because this process never stops. That's why me and Destiny are in marriage counseling at least once a month, if not twice a month. And this is what people say. Whenever we say that, people are like, oh, wow, y'all having trouble? What a sorry way to think about it. Are you having trouble? No, there's actually an expert that wants to help me optimize my marriage. I'm trying to have the greatest marriage that's ever existed on this earth. And if I thought I could do that with the thoughts that were already in my head, then I'm a fool. And I definitely should not be your pastor. I need somebody to put a new way of thinking in my head. I need somebody to elevate my thought process. Why? Because I'm trying to elevate my marriage to a level that it's never been. And if I think the way that I've always thought, I'm going to get what I've always got. And I'm not satisfied with where my marriage is. Why? Because it's not the greatest marriage that's ever existed in the history of this world. And that's what I want. So the way of thinking, right? We're just trying to... Oh, man, if we can just make it to the grave. What? We always laugh because, like, we kind of thought that sometimes. You're like, if I could just make it to the end. But what happens is there's a way that exists of thinking within the world, and it gets into our thought process. I'm not trying to raise kids who are just good. I'm trying to raise kids who are the greatest threat for darkness that this world has ever known. I'm trying to raise up little warrior leaders who are full of God and full of confidence and full of everything that they need to walk into the darkest places of this world and shine a light that the darkness will be completely overwhelmed by. I'm not just trying to get them to 18 so they can get out of my house. Listen, but it's all about the way you think. It's how you think about these things, and we don't even realize it. And it just creeps into our existence, and it gets into the way that we operate. And then we wonder why our light is not shining as bright as God said it could shine, because there's a mode of operation. There is a way of believing and thinking and feeling that exists within me. And if it is not changed, then this is not going to change. So it starts with us becoming aware, oh my God, like that. This is what Paul was talking about, conforming to the world. This is what he was, all of these little things that I've just picked up from social media and Instagram, my parents and society and sixth grade and all of these things that I've just picked up along the way, and I've just now determined, well, this is the way life is. No, that's just the life you have. That doesn't have to be the way that it is. We can begin to think different so we can begin to live differently. Here's the important thing to note. We're going to wrap with this. The important thing to note is that being transformed is not a quick, flawless process that's always trending up and to the right. It's not like you just make a decision. Whoo, Pastor Phil, I like that. I like what you're saying right now. I'm in. I'm just going to ride this wave up and to the right. It's just going to get better and better and better and better. No, let me tell you what. If it wasn't that way for the Apostle Paul, it's probably not going to be that way for us. I mean, it's a bumpy ride to the top. That's why Paul says, because he's speaking to us in our situations in Romans chapter 7. And he says, I've discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. You know, sometimes in church you say amen, sometimes you say oh man. That's one of those oh man moments. Oh man, that's me too. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my what? Mind. Oh, okay. So there's I want to love God. I want to serve God. I want to do it God's way, but there's another power within me, and it's at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within what? Huh. So you mean to tell me it's salvation? That sin just didn't disappear? I mean, that's what I was hoping for. I was hoping that my salvation would lead just straight into transformation. Oh, I didn't realize that I got saved and now my spirit has been reborn and now my future destination is heaven. But I still got some things lurking around in here. The Apostle Paul writing the Bible, and he's got stuff lurking in him. You know we got stuff lurking in us. And he says, this stuff, he says, it's at work in my mind, in my thoughts. Then he goes on, he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from the life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, Jesus is the one that makes it possible. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the answer. Nothing that we are talking about today is not possible if Jesus did not come and break the power of sin off of our life and promise that he would fill us with his spirit so that we could live in his victory. He says, so I see how it is in my mind. Everybody say mind. Mind. My mind, I want to obey. In my mind, I want to do what's right. In my mind, I want to be like God. But because my sinful nature, that he said a moment ago in that scripture, where was that sinful nature existing? Within him, within his mind. I am a slave to sin. What's Paul doing? Paul's making the connection for us. He's saying, look, your mind is the key. Your mind is the key. There's a war that's taking place in your mind. Joyce Meyer's book, The Battlefield of the Mind. If you have never read that, you are cheating yourself. I used to tell our guys in the gym, don't cheat yourself, treat yourself. You need to get that book. That book was one of the most transformative books in my life almost 20 years ago. I've probably read that book more than any other book I've ever read in my life. The Battlefield of Mind, because this is where it's taking place. Paul said, this is what's happening right now. There is a war within me. And the war is taking place in my mind. And then he goes five verses later, he stays on the same kind of train of thought in Romans 8, verse 5. And he says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So watch, if you want your life to be controlled by the way of the world, then you need to think about how the world operates. You need to think like the world operates. But if you want your life to be controlled by the Spirit of God, then guess what you need to think about? You need to think about how does God think about all of these things? How's God think about my marriage? How's God think about my kids? How does God think about this day? Well, God thinks that this day you should be the salt of the earth. That God thinks about this day that you should be the light of the world. God thinks about this day that you are his ambassador on this planet to represent his glory in the earth. That's what God thinks about this day. But the world will tell you that if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, you can scratch the day off. I mean, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, right? I mean, come on, man. I mean, you spilt your coffee in your car. Anybody's going to understand that. It's 107 degrees outside. Your coffee's going to smell like a, I don't even know what. It's fine to cash it in today. You and your spouse got in a, some would say fight, some might say heated discussion. Oh, it's fine just to, I mean, everybody would understand why you're going to have a bad week. Yeah. When you conform to the mode of operation that exists within the world, all those things, yeah, they all check off. But when you say, God, I want to think like you think. And Paul says, hey, whenever you face hardships, Paul wasn't necessarily talking about spilling the coffee in your car. He was talking about a lot harder things than that. But if that's where you are, it's possible for you to have a different reaction. Why? Because you have a different attitude. Why do you have a different attitude? Because you have a different settled way of thinking. You said, I'm not going to think like the world anymore. I'm going to think like God thinks about my life. And I'm going to begin to feel the way that God wants me to feel about these things. And that's going to form the attitude in me, right? And this is what Paul says as he goes on, as we close this morning. He says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind, it's going to lead you to death. It's going to lead you to a separation from all things that give life. But letting the Spirit control your mind, thinking like God, it's going to lead you to life and peace. Listen, friends, your thoughts are leading you somewhere. They are leading you somewhere. Because those thoughts lead you into an attitude. That attitude is going to lead you into some actions. Those actions are going to give your life a direction. And that direction is ultimately going to determine the destinations that you arrive at in this life. And it all starts with how we think. So Paul says, hey, the struggle is happening in here. The battle is happening in here. And you have to make a daily decision. I will not conform to the pattern of this world, Instead, I will let God form a brand new attitude in me, a new way of thinking. I'm going to let God disconnect some of my neural pathways. I'm going to let him connect some new ways of thinking, and I'm going to begin to advance into everything that God has for me in my actions and in my life, and it's all going to start because I started thinking different thoughts. John Maxwell said, the greatest day in your life and mine is when we take responsibility for our attitudes. That's the day we truly grow up. That's the day that maturity begins. That's the day we choose to grow. Whenever we take responsibility for our attitudes, that's our way of thinking and feeling that's going to produce our way of being and behaving. The moment we take responsibility, I'm not conforming to any way. I'm not conforming to any model that existed in the home that I grew up in. I'm not conforming to any model that exists within society and culture. I'm not conforming to any other model. I'm not going to conform to anything. I'm taking full responsibility for my attitude today, my way of thinking, my way of feeling, my way of being, and my way of behaving. I'm taking responsibility. And he says, that's whenever you grow up. You see, you got to grow up before you can go up. You got to grow up before you can advance into everything that God has for you. And that's whenever we make up our mind and we say, you know what? I'm going to let God start changing the way that I think so that he can transform the way that I live for his purpose and for his glory. Come on, I want you to stand with me today. We're going to throw the lead up there. Every Sunday, we want to say, how can we lead ourselves well? And that's, what did we learn? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And the D is always, do it again. To learn is this, that my behaviors are simply an indicator for what's controlling my mind. Let your actions and your reactions be an indicator. Who's controlling your mind? Who's winning the war? If there's more anger and rage and jealousy and selfishness and greed and pride, if there's more of that in your life than there is peace and joy and kindness and faithfulness and goodness and self-control, if there's more of that than you just understand that the way that exists within the world, it's winning the war here. It's just an indicator. Then my evaluator is this. Am I displaying maturity? A transformed life? Are my beliefs and my behaviors, are they in alignment? You can believe and be going to heaven, but that doesn't mean that today you're really the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That you are Christ's ambassador. That you're operating in the full authority that God gave you to operate here on the earth. Okay, well, if my life is not transformed, what am I going to do about that? Our application is this. Practice having a different attitude for 30 days. For the next 30 days. Commit through the month of July. Say, I'm going to practice having a different attitude. A different way of thinking about something. You know where some of us can start? I'm just going to have a different way of driving down Airline Drive. Transform your life. Transform your life. Instead of yelling at the person that pulls out in front of you, what if every time somebody pulled out in front of you, instead of yelling at them, you got grateful for one thing in your life? It was just a trigger. For the next 30 days, you didn't yell at anybody, but every single person that pulled out, every person was going slow in the fast lane, every person that didn't use their blinker, every person that got in the box and blocked you from turning left into Green Acres Play, you know, whatever it is. Yeah, very specific. I live in Green Acres Place. What if you said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to think different, and I'm going to let that trigger me for what's one thing that I'm grateful for. And instead of yelling at them, I'm going to go, man, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for the family that I have. I'm so grateful for the car that I'm driving. I'm so grateful that I live in this country. I'm so grateful. Just pick one. and you let those moments turn into gratitude moments. If you did that for 30 days, I'm telling you, it transformed your life. And you know what you would do? You would never go back to yelling at people on the road. Because your life would get better. Why? Because you have a different mode of operation. Different way of thinking. Well, I just thought that's the way it is. I thought you're supposed to yell at people on the road. I mean, thought that was normal. Doesn't have to be. You can have a different way of thinking that gives you a different way of living so that you might be everything that God created you to be.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.